Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Stone Chapel Podcast. I'm David Capes. Is reading the Bible enough? Are there things that we miss if we only read the Bible? Are there better ways of engaging Scripture than reading it alone, that is, reading it by ourselves? Well, Dr. Brent Sandy, who is a friend of mine from Wheaton College, and he's a professor there at Wheaton College, has written an important book. It's entitled, Hear Ye the Word of the Lord. And I love the subtitle, What We Miss If We Only Read the Bible. It's published by InterVarsity Press. He's got a lot to say about the ideas, and he's got some controversial things to say, I'm sure, but he's here to ask all the right questions. So today, Dr. Brent Sandy on the Stone Chapel Podcast.
My name is Brent Sandy. I was born in Pennsylvania. I now live in Indiana. I've also lived in Virginia and New York and North Carolina. I've been blessed to be able to be a professor at various institutions, most recently at Wheaton College.
Dr. Brent Sandy. Brent, good to see you. Welcome to the Stone Chapel Podcast.
Well, thank you. It was great to be in Houston at Linear Theological Library a few years back.
We got to get you back. We're going to be talking a little bit later here in this podcast about your book, Hear Ye the Word of the Lord. Really interesting subtitle. I'll give it a few minutes. But for those who don't know Brent Sandy, who is he?
Yes, my passion has been for 50, 60 years trying to understand Scripture just as well as I can. And when I say that, I mean especially in light of the cultural background. So I want to understand Scripture as it was understood then. And I read that statistics say today that Christians most want out of their churches how to understand the Bible better. And so if that's true, that's me, because that's what I hope to be able to do. I've given my life to that. And I love to help out in churches, to teach classes, to sort of preach or whatever. I've been a pastor for 7 years, senior pastor. So I'm very active in church and very committed to church, but trying to bring scholarship and what's going on in the academic world down to the level of people who can appreciate it and learn by it and understand the Bible better.
Now, you did your PhD at Duke University, as I recall?
That's correct. When I was done with seminary, finished the Master of Divinity, I was looking for the best place in the world. I would go anywhere to understand the what we used to call the intertestamental period or the Hellenistic period, the period between the Testaments. And I found at Duke University, in their classical studies department, the best coverage of that period.
And you've written a couple of books, or is it just one book with John Walton?
It's just one.
John has been all over that same question about culture, trying to understand the Bible against its own culture first, before we make a really quick run to the modern period and say, what does the Bible mean to me, right? Because if you don't sort of understand that first level of what the Bible meant to the people who first wrote it and first heard it, I'm afraid that sometimes we can misread the Bible.
Indeed. And in oral culture, when they're hearing Scripture, they're not zeroing in on individual verses so much. They're reading for the bigger picture. No, I'm sorry. They're hearing and naturally hearing the bigger picture.
Because
if somebody is presenting it to them, reading it to them, or even performing it for them, they're getting the scope of it. They're feeling it.
Exactly.
Whereas we tend to stop and ponder on individual verses and words.
Right. Well, we're talking about Dr. Brent Sandy's book, Hear Ye the Word of the Lord. Here's the subtitle, What We Miss If We Only Read the Bible, and that's published by InterVarsity Press. It's a great book. It's an important book because I think probably what we have heard most of our lives in the West, go read your Bible. Have a time every day where you read your Bible. And that's good, and that's important. But you're telling us that we miss something if we only read the Bible. Let's talk a little bit about the big picture of your book. What were you trying to do? What were you trying to say in this book?
So, talk about reading the Bible. for a lot of us, we're encouraged to read the Bible in a year, or maybe 6 months, or even 3 months.
Right.
And so we get in the posture of sort of reading it as fast as we can. I'd like to say we've got to read it as slow as we can. And one way to read it and understand it better is just hearing it. So using one of the things online that, you know, they'll read the Bible to you. So that's a helpful way to do it. But that's still at the individual personal level. In the ancient world, look at Colossians 4:16. Paul writes, "Now the letter that you've heard in your congregation, make sure you send that over to Laodicea so they get to hear it. And then the letter I sent to Laodicea, make sure you bring that one back over to Colossae so we get to hear it here." So they heard Scripture read. They heard it in group settings. They heard the Scripture come at them in large segments.
Rather than just one verse at a time, one verse or two verses at a time, right?
Yes, indeed. So it would be at least one of Paul's whole letters presented all in one setting. And it could even be as much as the whole book of Revelation memorized and presented in one setting.
Now, you told me earlier that you had heard that at the Society of Biblical Literature a number of years ago. Tell us about that experience for you.
I didn't know what to expect going into that session where one person had memorized it and stood up there and presented the whole thing in a very powerful, dynamic way. Just one person standing up there, and he was quoting it from memory, but he was more than just quoting it. He was making it come alive with his words. He was a very expressive person. But at the end of that, I think it was 1 hour and 5 minutes for the whole book, I just felt the whole power of the book like never before.
Wow.
I understood the book better by hearing it all at once like that. I was just sort of plastered back against my seat by the power of the book. So that has sort of influenced me over the years, hearing Scripture presented in a powerful way like that, and thinking that, you know, we don't do enough of that. We don't have people that present Scripture that way in our churches. Unfortunately, you know, our churches often will read Scripture, but they do it just sort of a flat, maybe a monotone. Okay, there's no preparation given for it. It's just kind of like, you know, okay, I'm supposed to read Scripture.
Now, you've hit on one of my big concerns, is that we often read Scripture publicly, at least in my tradition, the Baptist tradition. We read it very badly, very poorly. No one is really thinking about how important it is to hear the word and not just read it in a book.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so it's misread, words are mispronounced, there's no right rhythm, there's no, the breathing is all wrong. And so I know you've heard that as well in your traditions and churches that you've been in. Here it is, the Scripture, that we're treating as if it were no different than the newspaper or some other book.
Yes.
I think you're right on it, my friend.
Well, one of the endorsements that you can find online, it's actually my pastor wrote the endorsement. It said, "We give so much time and effort to preparing what we're going to say about Scripture, and we don't give much attention to how we read and present Scripture."
Yeah.
So, you know, we come up with all kinds of ways to explain the interpretation of Scripture, tell stories or whatever, illustrations, anecdotes, and all kinds of things. But it's the power of God's Word. It should have the biggest impact on us.
Yes.
Not what we as preachers or teachers can say about it.
I had breakfast this morning with George Kalantzis here in Houston. He was here for a conference. He's one of your colleagues there at Wheaton College, a church historian, yes. Particularly the early period, the patristic period. He was talking about a time when he was at Garrett Seminary years ago, and there was a fellow, an actor, who had memorized the entire book of Galatians. And it took him about 20, 25 minutes to recite it, and recite it powerfully, and to do so beautifully. And he said it was one of the most powerful experiences he ever had with Scripture. So if we're just out there reading the Bible, we're reading it as quickly as we can to make sure that we tick off that box to say we read our Bible today, the chances are really good we're just going to miss something really significant.
Yes. And one of the things we're so guilty of is taking verses out of context. We find a verse we like, we land on it, we build theology out of a particular verse. And then that leads us to miss the larger sense of the meaning of those verses. Sometimes a verse has limited meaning if we just focus on the words in the verse. So let me illustrate. This is out of our local newspaper. I can usually read the newspaper and understand what I'm reading. But they have a daily column about the game of bridge. I'll read a little bit. After a one-no Trump opening, some pairs use a jump response of three of a major to show game values with a singleton or void in that suit. Three cards in the other major and 5-4 or 5-5 in the minors. Now, I know what those words mean on their separately. Every word in there, I know what that word is. But in those sentences, I have no idea
what all that means.
I'm lost.
Are you a bridge player, by the way?
No, I've never played a game.
Okay.
When I read that, I have no understanding. So I think Scripture can be like that. Hmm. If we read Scripture isolated from the context and the culture, we miss out what Scripture really is saying. Even as I miss out on that bridge comment, I know nothing about bridge, so that strategy they're talking about there is not helpful to me in any way. Hmm. So for Scripture to be the most helpful it can be, we need to take it in the context of the larger setting, make sure we're understanding what the major thrust of the author is in that passage.
Yeah, one of the things you're so good at pointing out is the fact that culture at that time was being addressed. It was primarily oral culture.
It was.
And you and I don't really have much of a context for understanding that. Now, if we go and we teach in Africa, or if we go and teach in many parts of the world, that's more of an oral context where people prefer to learn through hearing.
Yes.
But you and I live in very much a world in which there's reading all around. Tell us a little bit more about that oral culture, the ancient oral culture that you encounter when you read the Old Testament, the New Testament, the intertestamental period.
Yes, I call it the oral macrocosm of the biblical world, in contrast to what people call the Gutenberg galaxy, once Gutenberg invented the printing press. So the oral macrocosm was a world in which people expected to learn things by hearing. You know, the news came to them, passed along by people telling these things. They learned by hearing. They functioned by hearing, that is, by oral communication, let's say. So what they heard, they'd pass on. So this was a pretty reliable procedure. That is, people knew that there were people out there that were charlatans who would maybe give them false information, but it wasn't difficult knowing the people to determine what was a reliable source of information that was passed on to them. So as they prefer hearing, as they most operate in the world of oral communication, they assume that what they're getting orally is the kind of revelation that can come from God. So when they hear, then they think, this is God's words. They're hearing this larger segment of Scripture. They don't need something written. Written is immaterial to them. Written can be just as falsely contrived as something oral can be falsely contrived. So for them, the oral culture was just dominant. And we can estimate that only, say, one person out of 10 would have been able to read one of Paul's letters or a gospel or something like that. Most of the people, if they could read or if they could write, maybe they could write their name, sign a document, they would not be able to write the whole document. Maybe they'd be able to read the inscription on the cross. So they read chunks, especially when these ancient documents, they put in those spaces between words.
Right.
So everything ran together. So it took a lot of practice. Even you take Galatians, one of Paul's letters, and prepare to present it, the presenter would have to work hard over that document to get to the fact that he could follow the flow and know where to divide those letters into words in that document.
So we had the macrocosm of oral culture and the galaxy of Gutenberg. So what are we in now that we are in this solar system of the cyber world? I mean, we're in a different place than we were even then, right?
We are. Yeah. We are. So God's word is over 2,000 years old, the New Testament and the Old Testament more than that. So do we just read it like we would in a modern book, or do we have to think our way back into their culture to get the full intent of God's word?
Yeah.
So as John Walton's famous for saying, it was written for us, but not to us.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, but the fact it was not written to us means we need to get out of the thinking through what it meant to them.
Yeah, we often want to just pick up the Bible and say, what is this going to speak to me in my life today?
Right. Oh, yes.
And that's a noble concern, but I think it turns the Bible around in such a way that it makes it difficult. Now, before we go today, I don't want to give the book away, but what are some things that you could say to us today on the podcast to get our interest going? How do we resolve this tension? I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. I do read my Bible. I hear my Bible somewhat when I go to church. Is there more that we can do?
Yes, we can. So I'm thrilled to take a passage of Scripture. Let's take Romans chapter 8, and I'm working on the topic of suffering, and I realize that Romans 8 has a lot to say about suffering, but there's other things that Romans 8 has to say. So I'll take Romans 8, and I'll pull out the portions of that, especially addressing suffering. Hmm. Then I go to the Voice Translation, I go to the New Living Translation, I go to a variety of translations, and I look for the wording that will be most likely to help that topic of suffering be expressed dynamically when it's read to a group of people.
Hmm.
So I begin with the Voice Translation. That's my favorite translation right now because it was actually translated for hearing.
Hmm.
So it's designed specifically with the sense, the power of the dynamic presentation of Scripture. So that's my go-to translation.
I'm glad to hear that because I worked on that translation. So I'm glad.
I know you did. Thank you for all you did on that. So I'm preparing them a presentation of a portion of Scripture, emphasizing a particular theme, using a variety of translations. And then I get several people at church to help me. And then we prepare.
Hmm.
We meditate on the passage. We work through that. We try to embrace the emotions of the passage. We think about people who have suffered and what it means to suffer. And so then I'll have them also read Paul's description in 2 Corinthians 11 about how he suffered.
Mm.
And then what he says about suffering and how suffering can be resolved. So then we present that passage of Scripture in a church setting with three or four of us reading different lines and almost the point of crying as we present it because we're just so wrapped up in the power of the passage. I'm thrilled now to be putting in practice some of the things I call for in the book.
In the book. You know, as you were saying that, I started in Jesus Music years ago. We would practice sometimes for hours in order to get a song right. Right?
Yes.
So we could perform it well. We could play the chords well. We could sing the melody, do the harmonies well. And it sounds like what you're calling for is sort of the same thing, right? You're calling for people to gather ahead of time and to say, we are going to be presenting the Scriptures, the very Word of God, to a congregation.
Amen.
And we are not going to do that by just standing up and reading. We're going to prepare. And we're going to prepare until we can do it well. And because what I'm hearing you say is that really matters at the end of the day.
Thank you. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. You can use that next time. Next time you write a book about this topic, you can use that in that analogy. But Brent Sandy, you've written a terrific book, Hear Ye the Word of the Lord, What We Miss If We Only Read the Bible, published by InterVarsity Academic. It's a great book. We look forward to having you back and having you down here on our campus at Lanier Theological Library.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being with us. Thanks to Brent Sandy for being with us on the Stone Chapel podcast. Make sure you stick around for a nugget of wisdom from Dr. Brent Sandy at the very end. It's brilliant. He's written an important book. It's a book that you need, and I think we all need to take a bit more seriously. Thanks to Kathy Capes for editing this podcast. Thanks to Phil Keggy for our music. If you're not on our newsletter at LTL, take a minute and sign up now. It's the best way to know about our lectures and our classes and everything else that's going on here at the Linear Theological Library and Learning Center. Take a look in the show notes for a link to our newsletter and be sure to sign up. So until next time, I'm David Capes. Thanks for listening.
When I was a teenager, my father, who was a godly man, encouraged me to join him in memorizing Romans 11:33. And I have quoted that verse to myself and other people many, many times. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That has kept me humble for a long time. God is beyond me. His word I'll never understand completely, but I will try my best to understand God and his word.